Psalm 13, this is from the NIV. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me.
As we start today, ask you just a couple of quick questions. Just want you to visualize a lot today. I want you to experience a little bit about what we're going to talk about. One of my goals for today is not to be like me, to overanalyze, to find every detail and nook and cranny of this, and just let Scripture wash over us today as we look at Psalms. So my first question: have you ever had a friend who was just great at listening? That awesome, special skill of listening. Just being there for you. They could listen. You sensed that they understood your feelings, your emotions, what you were saying, what you were feeling. They could empathize with your pain, your suffering, your difficulties, your trials. You knew that you would be understood by them. Without being judged, without being accused, without being patronized. What a special skill for someone to have as a friend, to be able to come alongside and just be there and understand and empathize or sympathize. Well, that's one great friend to have. How about another? Have you ever had a friend who could always manage to put things in proper perspective for you? Maybe a face even comes to mind. If you're not a friend who's just great at putting things in proper perspective for you, they could understand where you were, but they could kind of bring you where you needed to be without manipulating you, without kind of twisting your words, without kind of complicating things. You just knew that talking to them would always manage to pick you up, to redirect you, put you straight, and have you see things more clearly as you should. Have you ever had that kind of friend? Maybe, again, you have someone in mind for each one. I might venture to say that it would be a wonderful thing that you could have both of those friends wrapped together in one package. That would be awesome. Now, a lot of us sometimes feel like we have no friends. Never mind to have a friend like that. I think I read somewhere someone saying that you're lucky to have truly one or two great friends in your lifetime. Lucky. Imagine if you had a friend like that wrapped together in one package. Now imagine that friend is God. Through the Psalms. Let's pray as we begin. Father God, open our hearts and minds to your word. Father, give us a voice to speak back to you. Our suffering, our pain, our desires, our anxieties. Continue to mold us and have us see things from a proper perspective. Thank you for the Psalms that give us a voice. Teach us this morning from your word. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're starting our summer series on the Psalms. And we are clearly not going to cover all of them. We will cover just a short portion of them, selected Psalms. Psalms have been used by God's people for over 3,000 years in a myriad of ways. We read the Psalms. As we've done this morning, every single song came either word for word or a slight adaptation of Psalms. We've sung the Psalms. God's people have sung the Psalms for over 3,000 years. We memorized the psalm. I venture to say most of our young people who had Miss Mo know Psalm 23 by heart still. And a majority of you maybe do as well. So we've memorized them. We studied them. I find this really interesting considering that roughly 60% of the psalms is not happy. They're not happy at all. If you read the psalms, in fact, they are laments. They're cries of anguish. They're about anger. They're about suffering. Suffering at the hand of others. Suffering in spite of righteousness. Suffering for my own sin. They're about anguish of soul. They're about woe at apparent lack of social justice. We see this over and over in Psalms. About 60% of this. And we see it in words and quotes like, "Where are you? Why do the righteous suffer? Save me from, heal me, deliver me. Why do you stand far off?" These are the words we read in Psalms. In part, we see very, very clearly, and I think maybe that's why they speak to us so well, the Psalms tend to mirror our lives. How many times do we say, do we feel, do we experience, "God, where are you? Deliver me, save me, heal me. Why do you stand far off?" We can relate. Now, at the same time, the Psalms are also chock full of affirmations. There are affirmations both of God's character and His faithfulness, who He is and what He's done. But they're also full of affirmations about the psalmist's faith and trust in God. So we go to the Psalms to where God promises over and over again that He's going to be there with us, that He'll provide His presence. And we hear words like, "The Lord watches over you. He will protect you from all harm. He won't let your foot slip." And we read psalmists' words and their statements like, "I am praying to you because I know you will answer me. You are my rock and my salvation." In fact, we sang that this morning. Wouldn't it be great to have that friend who could listen, understand, sympathize, while also bringing us to a better place of understanding ourselves and a better perspective? God, through the Psalms, is there for you and for me. This is why I think the Psalms are so beloved by believers, because they deepen our relationship with God. David is one of the major writers of the Psalms, is writing often about the human condition that we experience all the time. The Psalms articulate and agree with the cries of our hearts. I was talking to Chris a little bit, previewing my sermon, just getting some feedback, and he made the comment, "Yeah, David, as the writer of Psalms, someone who wrote these words that we read over and over and over again, he was said to be a man after God's own heart, and we read his cries of doubt, of anguish, of sorrow, of why are you not bringing justice, God? And yet, this is the same David that we've seen in scriptures that says, you ever had trouble in your marriage? David, I've been there. You ever had trouble in your job? I've been there. You ever had friends attack you? I've been there. You ever lost a child? David, I've been there. You ever had a child turn their back on you? I've been there. You ever experienced anguish of soul? Yeah, I've been there. This is what we read in the Psalms. The Psalms mirror our human condition, our experiences. Nothing different. Hey, look at that. The times may have been different, but the character of the human soul is the same. The Psalms articulate and agree with the cries of our hearts. Not only that, but they remind us that God knows the reality of our feelings, and he doesn't want us to pretend they're not there. This is a man after God's own heart who cried out his doubts, his anxieties, his fears, his trials, his sorrows. He cried them out to God. I was joking with Dave Jolin this morning. Said, no, Dave, this is not crying out your opinions. This is crying out your feelings, for those maybe of us guys who struggle with our feelings. It's not about opinions. This is about feelings. David brought them to God, just laid them out there. Does God reprove David? Does he correct him in this? No, the Psalms fairly beg you and I to do the exact same thing. Do you have anxiety? Do you have trial? Do you have sorrow? Do you have difficulty? The Psalms beg us to come. Read them. If you don't have the words yourself, for maybe guys like me and Dave, read the Psalms. That's why they're there, to express our hearts that we sometimes have trouble connecting with, to express our hearts back to God. God doesn't say, no, you shouldn't feel that. You shouldn't feel doubt. You shouldn't feel sorrow. You should be rejoicing in this trial. This is awesome for you. That's true. It doesn't take away the difficulty of it. It doesn't take away the difficulty of sickness. God says, come to me. Bring me your anxieties. I beg you, just talk to me. But the Psalms also manage to balance our perspective and point us in the right direction. They don't devalue, they in fact validate our feelings of doubt and trouble, while at the same time pointing us to faith and trust. And I hope I'll make that clear, how Psalms 13 even does that this morning. So, quick admission as we continue on. I understand this is a long introduction. Don't worry. Sermon is still short. We're starting a new series. You got to have a long introduction. This is a quick admission. I understand a little bit better now why I personally have shied away from Psalms. Now, I've read Psalms many, many times. I've memorized Psalms. I've gone to the Psalms at times in times of trouble. I've prayed Psalms. And yet, I'm not a huge fan. In fact, when the elders had proposed we were talking about our summer sermon series, I was the least, I think, by far, interested in all the topics we covered. Psalms was the last on my list, the last thing I wanted to preach on and have us cover. Like, what are we going to do in Psalms? Really? I was a little bit skeptical, a little bit shied away, because, like I said, I want to analyze. I want to interpret. I want to break it all down. Now, when my family gets together, we play card games like Rook and things like that. If you ever played Rook, it's a trump kind of card game. And one card played leads to other cards being played. And it all plays out. And you see you won that hand and that set and that trick. And so in our family, it goes like this. You play out a hand. And then while the next person's shuffling, dealing, you talk about the hand. And what do you talk about? Oh, do you remember when you played the rook or you played the one black there? Well, if you'd have played this here instead, you could have gone here and that would have made you do this and that would have brought out this card and we could have won if you'd have done that. So what do? We analyze the tar out of everything. That's what we do. That's my family. That's my bent. That's my bent in Scripture, isn't it? If you hear me preach, I want to analyze. I want to look at it. I want to, what does it mean? Let's grab this piece and here's, it's neat. And Psalms aren't meant to be analyzed, folks. They're not meant necessarily to be interpreted. They were written by people in the throes of anguish, despair, heartache, trial, trouble. The Psalms are meant to be expressed. The Psalms are meant to be experienced. Virtually all of the Bible is about God talking to us. The Psalms, I want to argue this morning, give us a voice to talk back to God. So we're going to spend a little time this morning just looking at Psalm 13. And I'm going to try really, really hard not to analyze. But I want you to experience with me a little bit of Psalm 13 and what it has to share with us this morning. So, first experiment. Let me just get out a couple things out of the way. As we begin, know that there's no special circumstance that we know of for the writing of this psalm. There's not a situation in David's life where it comes to and we say, oh, we know where this psalm's written from. We don't know what happened. We don't know the scenario, whether he's being oppressed from the outside, from the inside, from his soul, from just anxiety, from stress. We don't know. We don't know the situation. It's here. And in my opinion, it's here for the believer. It's here for you and me that we can express our heart back to God. As we look at this morning, I want to read to you the first two verses. And what I'd like you to do, in fact, is close your eyes. Have your thumb, your finger, keep it right there in Psalm 13. We're going to be going right through these six verses. But what I'd like you to do is just close your eyes. And I'm going to read to you these verses with just a few extra questions thrown in. The verses each themselves begin with how long. So there's two verses and there's four how longs. So if you could, close your eyes. And I just want us to experience this a little bit together. O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? Can you think of a time and place when you felt it? When you said that yourself? How long will you forget me? Forever? You're never there when I need you. Don't you know what's happening in my life? How long will you look the other way? Are you really ignoring me, God? Oh, so you know I'm going through this. You just don't care? That's what it seems like to me. How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? This is too hard for me, God. Don't you know I've dealt with this long enough? Isn't it about time you took this away from me? When will this be over? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Satan keeps coming back to me and he keeps winning in my life. My boss at work just picks on me, dumps work on me. I don't deserve that. Socially, my friends, they're cruel. I don't even know if I have friends. How long will my enemy have the upper hand? You can open your eyes. I dare say, if you're like me, you've experienced those how longs. I don't consider myself an overly sensitive person, and yet I can see clearly the times and places in my life when I've asked those questions. Maybe even haven't had the courage, oddly enough, haven't had even enough courage to address those things back to God Himself. Maybe you're like me too, that you can pinpoint place, time, and experiences where you felt and experienced those how longs. I can tell you mine. I was 16 years old, Sucker Brook in Maine. How about Millinocket, Maine? How about Lake Pleasant, New York? How about on top of my roof at my house? How about Balch Pond Road up in Maine? I can tell you the times when I've cried my heart out to God. My mother's garage. These are places where I've met with God and said, how long? I dare say you have them too. These are the cries of our hearts. These are things we meet with in Psalms. We don't have to interpret them. We experience them. And so does the psalmist. In particular, there are four how longs. And the psalmist isn't judged on the quality or the nature of the how longs. They're the cries of the psalmist's heart. And they take four shapes. The first one is, how long will you forget me forever? Of course God's not going to forget forever. That's a foolish question. But we're not reprimanded for it. That's the feeling. This is as it seems. The shape of this groan or this anxiety is, this is as it seems to me. It seems like it's forever. Express it to God. The second is, how long will you turn your face from me? This is kind of as it is. You're just not there for me right now. I don't sense you. I don't know your presence. I'm not feeling you right now. That's as it is to you. Not judged for that. The third how long is this anguish of soul. It takes the shape of how it affects me within. What it seems to me within my own self. And the third is from my enemies. This anguish of soul. How long will they afflict me? Whether it's sickness, whether it's Satan himself in the form of our sin and temptation, whether it's illness, whatever that grief is, this is the shape of as it affects my foes without this how long. Each is given a voice. And each in Psalms, we gain this understanding, this experience of grief, suffering and anguish is poured out back to God. It's as simple as that. Now, I do want to make one quick caveat here. Maybe you are not in that place right now. What if that's not the place you're in right now? Praise be to God. Take advantage of the time you have. Don't take anything for granted. Time, resources, peace of mind, whatever it may be. Redeem the time. Take what you have. Use it for God's glory. Be thankful. Appreciate it. Store up recollections of God's goodness. Because the how long times do come. They do come. Now we read in verse 3 and 4. If you have your Bibles, turn right there to Psalm 13, verses 3 and 4. I find it awesome here that our anxiety, our suffering, our trial in verses 1 and 2 leads us very specifically someplace. Where does it lead us? The first two sections here are just about my scenario, you know, but the second section here, verses 3 and 4, this is a cry of prayer. It leads us to prayer. Trouble, adversity, sorrow, affliction, really in some senses for us, can be viewed as a mercy to us. Why? Because it directs us to God. It directs our soul. It directs our heart and mind. It directs our intention of will to seek God Himself. And I want to suggest to us this morning as we read this, really simply, verses 3 and 4, all they do is pray back to God specifically for the sorrows and the how longs that we just expressed. Here they are. Verse 3. Turn. What's that from? How long will you look the other way? Turn and answer me. How long will you forget me forever? Don't forget. Answer me. Turn and answer me, O Lord, my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes or I will die. I think this is in response to how long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, lest I die. Say the eyes are the window to the soul. The anguish of soul comes through the eyes. Restore that sparkle to me that I want. I want that spark of knowing you, of your presence, of your fellowship. And verse 4. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, we have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. Now, we know that God doesn't want us to live defeated lives. So why not pray against our enemies who want us to live defeated lives. Take advantage of what's being used against you. God wants to redeem this world. He wants to redeem you. He wants you to live victorious life. Pray that back to Him. Our salvation is in His hands. Our life is in His hands. If we're in the hands of our enemies, that's an affront to God. So pray that back to Him. Why don't we do that as believers? Our interest in God is never dulled or destroyed by our trials, but enhanced. These prayers are direct responses to our griefs. I want to analyze this, folks. It's simple. We bring our griefs to God, and we pray them to Him, that He would work in them and even take them away. And then we move on to verses 5 and 6. There's this dramatic change. Dramatic change. Let's read the verses and let's experience them a little bit together here. Verse 5. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because He is good to me. This is the song of faith. So, where do you read in here about this dramatic turn of events? This wonderful turn where the person comes to a realization, okay, I have this awesome suffering and anguish. Ah, yes, but God is all and in all, and I'm perfectly happy in all of that. I trust in God completely. Where do you see the change? Is there an event that changed things here? I don't see one, because there's not one there. Guess what? We're going to see this throughout Psalms. My encouragement, as Bryce said, my encouragement for me, I'll talk to me for a second. Read Psalms. Don't read all of them. Don't say I'm going to get through Psalms. Psalms aren't meant to be just read through and studied. Experience them. Read them. Pray them. Sing them. But the Psalms are full of things like this. There's this all of a sudden dramatic turn of events. What caused the turn? In a few we know. Most of them we don't. But I trust in God. I want to suggest to you, and this is, this is not my thought in particular, but in studying this, the only piece of analyzation I want to give you today is there are different verb tenses used here in the Hebrew. In verse 5, it finishes with, I will rejoice. That's an imperfect tense, suggesting present time and future. It's not talking about the past. It's not saying, hey, I have these awesome anxieties and trials and sufferings and I'm going to rejoice in them. Now, we are told later to rejoice in our trials and sufferings because they're for our good. But that's not what it says here. It says, I will rejoice now and in the future. But that's not what caused the change here. There's not something different that's happened. And it says next, I will sing. Again, imperfect tense, present and future. Doesn't say much about what happened in this past, this first four verses, this anxiety, this trouble. But the first line of verse 5 says a lot. So again, as Chris and I were talking last night, he made the statement, yeah, the key word here, Brian, remember, is trust. And I agree, but for a different reason than I thought at first. Because the verb, how it's used is, but I trust. This is a perfect tense verb, suggesting past, present, and future. I want to suggest to you, there is no change at verse 5. There is no dramatic turn of events where the psalmist says, I have anguish in my heart. I cry out to you, God. Everything's hunky-dory. There's no change. All of them are there at the same time. I have anxiety. I have trial. I have suffering. I have doubt. I have difficulty. I cry out to God. And yet I trust. Man, that's comforting to me. I don't know if it is for you, but it's comforting to me that my doubts and my trust in God's economy coexist. My anxiety and my dependence on a faithful God to care for all those things coexist. That's the human condition. That's us. The Psalms give us permission to beg God. How long? To cry out to Him. Won't you work here? Won't you change this? God, I trust. Help me where I don't. Help me to sing. Help me to rejoice. All these things, doubt and faith, anxiety and trust, suffering and dependence, coexist. And they help to change our perspective. That's it. Psalm 13. It's pretty simple. 6 verses. Folks, I want to give you permission. I give me permission to bring our feelings to God. How we truly feel when life goes inevitably the way it's going to go at times. Bring our sufferings. Bring my trials. Bring my sorrows to a God who wants us, begs us in the Psalms to just come to Him with them. And then to pray to Him for those very things that I've named and mentioned. Because they echo His heart for what He wants in me. And even through those difficulties, I trust in my Creator, who saved me, who called me, who drew me to Himself. He's shown Himself faithful, and He will again when I trust in Him. Let's pray. Almighty God, I do pray this morning that You would give us this summer a wonderful, rich, deep experience in the Psalms. Teach us to read them, but read them as they were meant, as a voice to talk back to You. We read writers who knew our condition, who experienced more than we could possibly imagine, and who penned to paper, through Your Holy Spirit, words back to You that take courage to say, that sometimes we feel we need permission to say, but Lord, that ultimately deepen our relationship with You and further that trust in You. Father, we thank You that You are that friend who understands completely and can draw us to a new and proper perspective through Your Word, especially through the Psalms. Teach us as we study them this summer. In Your name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.